You're listening to Wisconsin Today.
Now, in the northernmost reaches of Wisconsin, a sociologist interviewed dozens of Iron County residents over a period of years to find out how they viewed home and their mining community decades after the industry and jobs left.
Amanda McMillan-Lequeux is an assistant professor of sociology at Drexel University and a UW-Madison alum. Her new book is called Who We Are Is Where We Are, Making Home in the American Rust Belt. Amanda, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You could tell this story of the American Rust Belt in a number of Midwestern communities. Why did you center Iron County as a primary setting?
You're right that this story characterizes so much of the Midwest, so much of America, really. I grew up in a post-industrial community outside of Pittsburgh, for instance. But Iron County captured my imagination because in the early 2010s, the county was suddenly in the national spotlight because a new iron mine was proposed there, the GTAC mine. The mine proposal for this large strip iron mine eventually failed, but it centered this interesting community because it was going to be a new generation of a familiar industry, another generation of iron mining in Iron County, Wisconsin. So I began to learn about this county, and I was so compelled by the stories that I heard from long-term residents there, not just about iron mining in the past, but the dreams they had for their future, the future of their community.
And it's so fascinating. I don't think I've ever set foot in a company town, but as the mines closed, so did like Montreal, Wisconsin, in a way. It lost part of its beating heart. And you use the words cradle-to-grave company towns. What was life like there when the mines were flourishing?
Something I think that many of us forget about is so many parts of the American Midwest and U.S. working class communities were literally constructed for capital, for iron mining or steel working or coal mining. These iron companies in Iron County at the turn of the 20th century came to the county, built the towns in many cases, so actually built the houses people lived in, paved the streets with iron mine tailings, organized cattle grazing rotations for community members, rented out rooms to single men, ran a company store, had a company doctor. These were places constructed by iron companies in part to solve practical problems. There weren't a lot of dwellings in Iron County in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And so if they wanted to have mass employment, they needed to provide good housing to keep good workers. But then, of course, people grew up in these really nice community houses or company houses. They formed a community. And then when the companies closed, many of them bought the houses. But then the rest of those company infrastructures, like the doctor, like the road maintenance, suddenly these community members needed to figure this stuff out for themselves. So it really gutted not only the mining employment whenever these mines closed, but also the way these communities functioned.
And it's so fascinating, as you do dozens of these interviews, you find that these families of unemployed mine workers, they were reluctant to ask for help. They were reluctant to acknowledge the issues of poverty. Suddenly they had fallen out of the middle class. What was that like?
Oh, the stories I heard were just gripping. And the grief was still very palpable for many of my interviewees, because as you said, this was a generation that had middle-class jobs for blue-collar work. These were folks making enough money to eventually buy their own houses, to put away savings, to send their kids to college. And then through no fault of their own individually, the entire industry, an industry that employed more than half the working age people in the town, disappeared. And so there was this collective fall from middle class. And without the structures of the town, because those structures were company funded, suddenly folks were in need of food, of charity. And so many shared with me this sense of shame of needing to accept some temporary help from local government or state government, seeking charity from church food banks. And some said that they resisted even doing that. And they went out and hunted or scavenged or went back to their gardens and really just tried to make ends meet, at least initially. A lot of folks did informal work for this first couple years after company closure, meaning they would sell their labor for cash or do trades and barters with neighbors just to make sure that their roofs were over their kids' heads and they had food on the table.
You introduce us to Iron County residents like Rupert, who stayed through the economic hardships that followed the collapse of the mining industry. And there's this echo throughout the book. Why did people stay? Why didn't people like Rupert, leave and go to where other jobs were?
And this is the core question in so many ways, right? Mm-hmm. Now, moving away from an economic crisis or a climate crisis, other chaos and stressors, that's a very reasonable response. And many tens of thousands of people across the American Midwest did do that during the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, as deindustrialization kind of took hold in the Midwest. Tens of thousands of people moved to other parts of the United States looking for jobs. But I think an understudied component of this process is who stayed and why, like you said. And I found again and again that people really emphasized the parts of their community that weren't tied up in iron industry life. They value their industrial pasts for sure, but they also really value their kinship networks, their relationships with friends and neighbors, relationships that wouldn't exist if they moved elsewhere. So you can rely on your neighbors if you have decades of trust between you and your neighbors, but if you move to a new city to find a new job, suddenly you lose out on those social resources. Mm. And for many of my interviewees, those social resources were just invaluable. They were too important to lose.
And you describe these mega commuters, residents who went to work in places like Green Bay or Duluth, Superior, Milwaukee, just to keep their family afloat in Iron County as if the mines didn't close. How did this work out? You talked with Dottie about this.
Yes, this was a very surprising turn. Many of my interviewees, including Dottie, experienced mega commuting, which is commuting more than 100 miles for a job, but maintaining your social and economic home base in your home location. So Dottie shared a story of how her husband, along with six other men, took a large road trip for several weeks through much of the Midwest, upper and central Midwest, looking for work. And as the men in the car found work, they would kind of leave them behind with the expectation that those men would find their way back home whenever they had a paycheck in hand for that week or that month. And her husband indeed ended up working in Green Bay for several years. And on weekends, he would drive back up to see his family. Mm. But it was important to Dottie and to her husband to keep their kids in their local school and to keep that family connected with grandparents and aunts and uncles in Iron County. They didn't want to make moving and uprooting their kids' lives just one more chaotic continuation of deindustrialization. They really wanted to provide stability where they could.
We're examining the impacts of deindustrialization in Iron County and how we think about our idea of home. Sociologist Amanda McMillan-Lequeux, author of the new book, Who We Are Is Where We Are, Making Home in the American Rust Belt, is with us. Amanda, what did residents tell you about Iron County's remoteness and the lack of a railroad or other, highways that could, give it prospects for new industry?
Large-scale transportation came up again and again from everyday residents. These weren't necessarily city planners or county executives who brought up the issue of rail and roads. This was everyday folks sitting at kitchen tables with me. They were very concerned that in the 1980s, 90s, and early 2000s, the last of the industrial railroad track system in Iron County had been removed, and those railroad right-of-ways had been returned to the county or to private owners. Now, many of those right-of-ways now are hiking trails or ATV UTV mm-hmm. trails
cross-country
for winter,
ski.
Which is
mm-hmm. yeah.
exactly. And it's a great way to enable the county to build its tourism industry, which is just so core to the county more broadly. But my interviewees were also really disappointed in the fact that without those railroads, they accurately diagnosed, it would be really hard to have large scale industries reinvest in their communities. Mm-hmm. Because not only are there no railroads, there aren't large highways. Now, there are some large roads that go through, but maybe two or three significant roads connecting Iron County to other parts of Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula.
There's this push to make tourism an economic engine for the region. I mean, just densely forested, gorgeous area, hundreds of lakes. How do residents feel about building an economy around tourism?
Iron County is a beautiful area. And already the county is technically considered natural recreation dependent. More than 20% of county income comes from tourism-based industries. And many of my interviewees were very positive about tourists coming to enjoy the parts of Iron County that they themselves adored. My interviewees frequently talked about how much they loved the snow, the four seasons, the hiking paths, cross-country skiing, the lakes themselves. It's a beautiful place that people love to live. But they also almost always caveated their love of the place and their acceptance of tourists with concern that tourism doesn't really bring a lot of money to the area. It's significant for the county, but for individual residents, tourists can, they might buy some gas, they might buy some groceries, but it's just such episodic direct investment from tourists that is limited in its benefits to community members. And then the jobs that tourism provides tends to be seasonal and part-time, often without benefits.
You know, you describe this work as a patchwork ethnography. What more would you like to discover about Iron County and other communities that have struggled with the, lack of industry or the exit of a major industry?
I started the research in 2014 and 2015, and then continued visiting the county and doing interviews both in person and remotely through the pandemic. It was exciting to see the strategies and the potential of the community, both described by everyday folks, citizens on the ground, but then also by county and town leadership as well. And what I would love to take from this study and examine elsewhere in other deindustrialized communities is the concept of home. Again and again, interviewees and community members spoke of how much they valued home, not in the sentimental sense, though certainly our heartfelt attachment to home is really important to the way we are as people, but also home as this, as a sociologist, I like typologies. I like kind of building patterns that maybe I can observe in other cases. And so I saw that there's this pattern of home where home was geographic. There's something very physical about the remoteness, about the transportation infrastructures, about the way the town was structured. Home was also economic, the contrast between thriving in the past and the struggles today. And then home was also community, the value people placed on those kinship and family networks, the way that they invested in their county fairs, in their 4-H programs, in volunteering and supporting their seniors. And I want to see how those ideas of home show up in other communities that are struggling and facing crisis today.
Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to discuss this fantastic community with you.
Amanda McMillan-Lequeux is the author of Who We Are Is Where We Are, Making Home in the American Rust Belt. It traces the notion of home in Iron County.